Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Wendy's Big Show on the Fan, 3 o'clock hour. Leroy Butler, Leap 36. Gary Ellerson, for Badger and Packer running back. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmid. Yes, it is. It's almost time to talk to Chris Lingbach of 106.7 The Fan out in D.C. Also, Jesse Temple gives us a look at the Wisconsin Badgers and who is probably going to start week one out at South Florida. Gary, we've just been telling everybody for quite some time that it was going to be Jack Cohen, and nobody wanted to listen to us, so Jesse Temple is going to tell everybody why Jack Cohen is going to start for the Wisconsin Badgers. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250, live at 1057fmthefan.com, the Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. Leroy, there's always, whenever this guy opens his mouth and talks about the Green Bay Packers, most importantly, Aaron Rodgers, people are going to listen, and people are going to listen with a very keen ear.
Well, at least we will.
Also, people might with a little bit of a judgmental ear. But Greg Jennings was on Undisputed, filling in for Skip Bayless.
He hates the
Packers. Last couple of,
hates the Packers. Hates Aaron Rodgers. Agenda TV. That's all he is.
Well, maybe not. Greg Jennings.
Aaron Rodgers. Does he have anything to prove?
No, he does not. He does not. And you said his reputation has taken a ding.
Slight ding.
Because he's missed the playoffs and
can't stay healthy.
I mean, injury is a part of the game, number one. But when you're not able to be on the field and perform and provide the production that he provides for that team, that franchise, then, yes, they're going to miss the playoffs. I mean, this is Aaron Rodgers we're talking about. We just got done talking about a generational talent. This is a future first ballot Hall of Famer, no question, no doubt. Last year, him playing the entire year, Rob, being injured the entire year.
You remember game one against the
Khalil Mack, and still coming back to win that game and playing out the rest of the year. It showed not only toughness, but his ability to have resolve, but to be able to play and play at a high level. Brett Favre told me this one time, and I'll never forget it. He said the difference between players playing injured and choosing not to play, he said, when a guy says he's going to play and he's injured, it's not one thing just to play, but can you still be great? Can you still be 85% better or not? And if you can't do that, then don't play. Aaron Rodgers has proven he can do that. But last year, let me just give you these stats really quick.
Tell me his bad year.
Exactly. Over 4,000 passing yards, 25 touchdowns to 2 interceptions. Now, mind you, this is with Randall Cobb, who was injured on and off last year. Devontae Adams, we know what he is. He's been a constant great player. We love what he provides. No Geronimo Allison, no other guys. Aaron Jones in and out. This is a guy that's had to bear the load his entire career, basically, when it comes to not having a running game. And so for him to have something to prove, no, the only thing we need to see from Aaron Rodgers is can he foster this relationship, and can he make sure that stays in the back of everybody's mind and his play stays out front?
That qualifies as something to prove, right?
That is the only thing he needs to prove. As far as his performance on the field, no, he has absolutely zero to prove. We know who that guy is. Yeah. We know what he can do. We know what he provides. With him being on the field, we talk about the Green Bay Packers being Super Bowl contenders. Why? Because of Aaron Rodgers.
That sounded like a very, very complimentary and
I thought he ate Aaron Rodgers.
Excited Greg Jennings.
I'm confused.
So are people going to, one, change their tune on Greg Jennings?
No, they won't.
Or two, is Greg Jennings maybe just trying to change his tune on Aaron Rodgers because he sees the writing on the wall for the Rodgers Revenge Tour?
He's talking facts. It's all facts. Everything he said was facts.
So what happened? Did he fall and hit his head?
No, he asked a question. Does he have anything to prove? I thought he answered it articulately. And
what else was he?
Articulately.
Okay. Facts. Kept it straight 100. If y'all looking for drama, that's not the question.
Is Greg Jennings changing his tune?
What's the question?
Or would you change your tune on Greg Jennings after that?
That's the question.
So your answer to that question?
I thought he did his job. He did his job.
So that sounds like a no from Leap 36.
No,
do we even know?
He doesn't. Listen. He's waffling. Listen. Again. No.
Yeah, you are.
How? Just let him talk it out. Let's talk it out.
Okay.
Greg Jennings does not hate the Packers, and he does not hate Aaron Rodgers. Mm. That's what I believe. You know what I'm saying? I don't think this man hate the Packers. I don't think he hate Aaron Rodgers at all.
Well,
y'all think he does?
Hate is a very strong word.
You think he does, Steve?
I was always taught at a young age to not say that you hate anybody.
I agree. There's like a list of like five for me. But
well, we got words we shouldn't use.
No, okay. You're right. Hate isn't one of I don't think he hates Aaron Rodgers.
We'll use a different word.
I think he's a little bitter about everything with Aaron Rodgers.
And I don't think he's bitter. At all.
Aaron Rodgers came to the defense of James Jones and told the Packers they need to sign James Jones. Aaron Rodgers didn't say a word when Greg Jennings
He also didn't say a word he should not sign Jordan Nelson either.
Not a word.
Aaron Rodgers can do whatever he wants. He's going to get a pass. We gave Brett a pass on things like this. But what he was asked, does he have anything to prove? He does have anything to prove because just like you guys say, he's going to win the MVP.
We agree. Nobody disagrees with what the man said. Oh. What we're saying is, it's a little bit different Greg Jennings than we heard from Greg Jennings the last couple of seasons. A whole different spin from Greg Jennings. See, he'll be positive Greg Jennings about the Packers
now?
You said
why he's being positive now?
Something changed.
Well, you ever heard of the word evolve?
So he's becoming a little smarter.
Packers said,
I don't think
Greg.
He was dumb before.
Hey.
I don't think he was dumb before. And he's talked about, if y'all talk about instances, he talked about an instance between him and Aaron Rodgers that happened
On the field. Yep.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not.
Or he told the other team they could have him.
He didn't make up nothing. So the fans didn't like that. You just didn't like it.
Oh, there was more than just that he's brought up in the past. He's taking shots at Rodgers several times over the course of a couple of years.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
But this is that's fine.
I don't know which one you're talking about.
Could it be that there was a realization of if you want to make a lot of money from the Packers organization going forward, figure out different ways of expressing your opinion when you're on TV. Otherwise, you're not going to make Leroy money giving tours at Lambeau Field. You're not going to make all this money with the Packers Hall of Fame. That's not going to be there for you, Greg. Unless we decide to change our ways.
Greg Jennings don't need the Packers like I need them. Not at all. Nah. Stop it. Nah, they are blood to me. It's blood to me. Even out there, it's no blood. You're going to die. It just shrivel up and just die. Greg Jennings got a nice little job where he had paying, six figures. He's doing just fine.
So he doesn't have to pander. That's just him talking his own belief, feeling good.
He can be honest. Every time, and he's a smart guy.
He is.
He knows they're going to go to him anytime it's an Aaron topic. But he got to stay truthful. And it's the truth that Aaron doesn't really have anything to prove. That's why I didn't have to see him last night with a tight back. Got nothing to prove. 8-9, they got something to prove. Aaron Rodgers ain't got nothing to prove. He gave you the stacks, 4,000 yards, 25-2, yada, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, it's about getting your team into the playoffs. He acknowledged that. But I think a lot of Aaron Rodgers people, they got the side eye just like y'all got.
Sure.
So they want him to say more hate.
Just raise my ear.
But he fooled them.
Just raise my ear.
Why? Why can't you just say, have an open mind, saying, okay, it makes sense. On this particular topic.
It makes sense why you want to talk intelligently on national television.
Well, and how you talk intelligently is based on what you want to hear. I mean.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't want to be mean to the guy just because he don't agree with what you think. He said he doesn't have anything to prove. Steve Jr.
It was just very, very nice of him to say that. I did not expect to hear it.
Thank you.
Greg Jennings
y'all
say anything like
y'all
that.
Y'all sitting waiting for some hate.
Definitely didn't get it.
Did
not
give that. You hate,
but,
y'all
but,
mad.
But on this, he's speaking the truth on that, though.
Yeah.
On the field, yeah. I mean, his resume is
nobody's questioning whether or not he's a Hall of Famer.
Right.
So he ain't got nothing to prove, right? We all agree with that.
100% wrong. Yeah. No. Huh? Like he said, like Jennings himself said, this is all about him and LaFleur's relationship.
Sure. Now, we all agree with that. We all agree with that.
That's what this is.
We all agree with that.
Part of the Aaron Rodgers revenge tour, folks.
Oh, stop it.
Get aboard. Yeah. Everybody else is.
We should go back to topic at 2 o'clock, shouldn't we? Because he didn't say that. He was feeling kind of down at 2 o'clock, wasn't he? Steve.
I said I wasn't coming off what I said. Leroy called me on it. Did you not call me on it?
What?
About the T-shirt.
You still making them?
Oh.
Of course. We're sold out.
Sold out.
Cash is checks.
Just like Pella Windows and Doors.
Yeah, guys, we always talk about our good friend Gina Dell from Pella Windows.
I think she wants one, actually. I think she does want a T-shirt.
We love her. And now it's time for you guys to meet her. The new Pella Experience Center's grand opening is next Friday, and the big show will be there from 2 to 6. 19030 West Blue Mound Road behind Cops. Come in and see us. Meet Gina Della from Pella and see, feel, open, close, and compare dozens of windows and doors. You know, fall and winter is right around the corner, and now is the time to get your house ready for that. Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin have great deals going on during the grand opening. So come in and see the big show and hang out with us and the great team from Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, guys. Friday at Pella Experience Center, 19030 West Blue Mound Road, or go to PellaWI.com. That's PellaWI.com.
Brewers are in D.C. We'll talk to Chris Lingbach of The Fan in D.C. coming up at 3:35. A team in the NL Central making moves, optioning down a world champion, but right now at 414-799-1250. Has Greg Jennings changed his tune, or have you changed yours on him? Wendy's Big Show.
I just don't hear it, so I don't have to block it out, I guess. I try not to read up on much and try not to hear a lot of the outside noise. I just try to keep my head down and, you know, keep driving the train straight. And I just try to do my job when I'm out there, you know. I try to just be efficient for the QB and not waste any time at the line and get running on my route. And when it comes to the run game, I like to just, you know, try and fit up on the safeties and then get the corners blocked. So I just like to try and do my job and, you know, trust in the coaches and the quarterbacks.
That's Jake Kumerow after the game last night. Jake Kumerow having one of the better nights of any of the Packers in Baltimore last night. 414-799-1250 live at 1057FMTheFan.com. Wendy's Fresh Never Frozen inbox. You can get at us there. Also on Twitter at 1057FMTheFan. The only show in the state where you can talk to two former Packers after a Packers loss. The Wendy's Big Show on 1057FMTheFan. If you miss any of it, go to 1057FMTheFan.com or just take us wherever you are. On your phone on the radio.com app. Also, the cool thing is, Laura, you have one of these Alexas, one of the smart speakers.
Yes.
All you do is you just say, Alexa, play 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Yes.
Boom. You'll get the Wendy's Big Show from 2 to 6.
We did an experiment, me and my son, because we were silly like that. We had Alexa, Google, and Siri all talking to each other. It was hilarious. In the house.
You should just have all of them just say, Alexa, hey, Google.
They got keywords like Amazon. They just start talking.
Turn on 105.7 FM The Fan on the radio.com app. And there you go. You'll be right there listening to 105.7 FM The Fan and the Wendy's Big Show from 2 to 6. Gary, that's your boy, Jake Kumerow.
Yeah.
Saying,
watch him right now.
He is aware of how much attention he's getting from the local media and the fans as well, but just keeping his head down and
media
keeping it
training.
Do his job, and you thought he did his job again last night very well.
Right now, he's the only receiver that's doing anything. Now, Geronimo Allison had a pretty good game this one, and you can see how they're going to try to use Geronimo in that slot. Rangy, good catching radius. But to me, just so far, the last two games have been about Kumerow. Now, I don't know about Jamon Moore, and I'm sure Scanton's going to make the team for what he did last year.
Right.
But these guys are just not getting enough targets. But I think Kumerow is just very consistent, and it, just like Roger said, he's where he's supposed to be at all times.
We're going to get into guys that made an impression at 4 o'clock before we hear from Matt LaFleur and talk to Ryan Wood, but Alan Lazard just keeps getting targets.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you start reading into that at all, but for what they want in that slot, Gary, you've been talking about a bigger body. You don't get much bigger than 6'5", 230, who can catch the ball over the middle like
that. Look like he can make the team.
So, I mean,
they're going to have some tough cuts at receiver.
The emergence of those two guys in Darius Shepherd and Alan Lazard, do you believe that's part of the reason why you didn't see Scantling and the milk carton of Jamon Moore and Equanimeous St. Brown?
Wouldn't you want to get these guys some work, though?
Well, I mean, you would imagine, but otherwise they
St. Brown, but couldn't
they don't want to go with it.
Right. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, this is puzzling to me. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, I just don't get it at all. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, maybe it's a different story when you have Aaron Rodgers come in and he understands the offense maybe a little bit more and know how to get these guys the ball. But right now, Kizer and Boyle, they just don't. There's not. There's
when do you just make Kumerow your number two and just say these guys are busts? Let's move on.
Bust? Why are you saying they're busts?
Let's just move on with Kumerow, and let's move on. With 17 and 81, those are your three guys going to get the ball. Concentrate on multiple tight end sets. Because if they're not getting the looks, I mean, they're not on special teams. Scantling ain't on no special team. He ain't running out making no tackles.
Sure.
I mean, he ain't.
Come on. That is true.
Yeah, and Darius Shepherd's on every special team.
So, yeah, if you're not playing, then, yeah, you the draft pick.
From just 1 year ago. It's not like he was a long time ago.
Undrafted guy from another team come and move you out? I mean, it is what it is. Whether you like to say it or not. Bust.
So
let's move on.
So for you, if they're not giving those dudes touches in the preseason, that means that they know what they already have in those guys is what you're trying to say?
They kind of know. But sometimes, you back in the day, if you're a draft pick, you make the team. You're over the undrafted guy. I mean, he was on the practice squad. But, hey, listen, they know these Scanners a deep threat. How many times they threw it?
The four-letter network doesn't have Scantling listed one for one target last
night. That's what I'm saying. That's so crazy. And then the head
only
coach calls the plays, okay? So if you want to get these guys a ball, he can get it. But when the other kid come in, you say Lazard?
Mm-hmm.
He caught the same skinny post the last 2 weeks. Okay, give that route to St. Brown and see if he can catch it. This kid is catchy. He's a big target. And I don't know if you're going to make it over a draft pick because there's an investment there. But the three wide receivers, I call them the three babies, when do y'all want to see something? I mean, we keep waiting around, but why are you waiting around? 16 playing.
Right.
And don't cost you nothing.
And you're seeing him play, you're seeing Lazard, and you're seeing Darius Shepherd.
And you hear number 12 roll off his tongue that he liked the guy.
So at some point, that's going to take precedent over a guy that was picked in the sixth or seventh round.
It make it look bad,
right?
Man. Y'all need to stop this. It make it look real bad.
Who are you talking to, Leroy?
Everybody.
Who is everybody? I mean, who are you talking
to? The guys making the picks or
who you,
listen,
front
office.
I'm just trying to figure out who you're talking about.
It make the front office look bad.
Okay.
Okay. You got three guys in there that was supposed to. They got all of them big, tall, too. Like Gary said, get off the bus.
Good bodies. Yep.
And Kumerow, get off the bus guy, too. Now, he big guy, too. But that guy be working. I mean, he had a bad drop, but the guy's open. Why y'all can't get open? Why y'all can't separate?
You know who else? I know we get Jimmy Graham just looks slow.
What you mean, look slow? Man, been there playing 12, almost 56 years.
Yeah, well, then how many more are you going to let him play in a Packer uniform? I agree with Gary.
I'm gonna keep
him. He looked old last night.
He looked old last night.
Y'all need to stop this stuff.
They're not going to cut him, right?
No. Tanya's your move guy.
What is Jimmy Graham?
He's going to be the move guy, too. But they seem like, to me, that they got a package to get Jimmy Graham the ball that you will see. But you're not going to see that until Aaron Rodgers get in there. Because you know that ball that he outflanked by himself? They split him out by himself. He tried to outrun the guy. And I think it was 8 overthrew him. See if that's Aaron Rodgers to the back shoulder.
It should have been back shoulder.
Hit me on the hip.
Yeah, you got to do one or two things. You got to back shoulder.
No, I think that was Kizer.
That was Kizer. You got
hit him on the hip.
You got to either back shoulder him or you got to high point him.
But you know,
you ain't throwing.
He ain't just overthrowing like that because you know you ain't got that guy.
But he used to be able to do that.
That used to be him. He would outrun just about anybody you'd put on him.
Not no
more. But here's why I like Jimmy Graham.
And tell me why.
He didn't show the kid up. Man, throw me the back shoulder. He just went back to the huddle. That's why you love this guy.
Well, maybe it's because he
if
knows
that. If that was Antonio Brown, he going to let everybody know, hey, oh, man, you need to hit me on the hip. When the guy, when the DB on top,
don't
hit
don't
me on the hip. If I'm on top,
don't compare
I'm just giving
two.
You an example. If okay. you on top,
give me another
a
one.
Guy that wants the ball. I like guys like Antonio Brown that wants the ball, but it's how you do it. You don't dress anybody down. Brett Favre never did that. And he just never did it. He don't dress his guys down. They run the wrong route. It's on me. He could take all that heat.
Brett just dressed himself down during photo shoots?
Well, I just remember one time, Holmgren said, everybody must wear a jacket. Okay, we NFC Championship mm-hmm. game against San Francisco. You know, Mariucci and the guy sitting mm-hmm. there. So, I got me a nice little blazer on.
Sure. Was, always, yeah. Boy,
Reggie had on one. Break it off the plane, a golf shirt. Backpack.
Was he wearing Crocs?
Nah.
Hey, no.
This week, guys, go drinking hey, the boff.
Nah. Hold on, hold on. Let me tell you what he did. I'm going to tell you what he did because you had to wear a sport coat. I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. But I got to tell you, I got to finish
go
it.
Okay. Finish
he said, he wanted everybody to have a jacket. And Brett got off with a golf shirt. Good. He said, I told you to wear a jacket. Brett reached into his backpack, pulled out a nice little blazer, snapped some of the wrinkles out, pop, put it on. It's all wrinkled up. Who cares? Brett Favre.
There it is.
After the press conference, took it off, put it back in the backpack. So he followed the rules.
Brett Favre.
But he followed it his way.
Brett Favre.
And it was amazing.
Gunslinger.
Man, that is Brett.
Yeah.
That is classic.
You think Brett would have had a Beaufort in with you?
I would hope Brett would want to drink in the boff with me. You
him
think
and
so?
Frankie.
Frankie Chewy. Bacon Donuts would come out and have a couple of boffs.
Chewy.
Oh, we would be having some
Tonio.
Fun.
Tonio.
We'd need more than a couple
oh,
of six
man.
Packs, though.
It would have been a fun group.
Drinking the boff. Oh, man, I wish I could drink in the boff with the 90s Packers. Are you kidding
man.
Me?
I'd be designated driver.
They would love it, too, because it's 100% natural. Made with only three all natural ingredients. We would be clean in the F-150 because we have fresh spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. That's it. No additives, no artificial flavors. Just beer, guys, made with a commitment to quality. You'll notice the difference superior ingredients make immediately when you're drinking the crisp Pilsner, the smooth triple, or the balanced Brun Beauforting 100% natural, and the commitment to quality. All of its brews give you a full flavor with a crisp, clean finish. You can drink in the boff at places like Cafe Hollander, Cafe Benelux, or the Nomad and Sport Club. And if you'd rather drink in the boff like I would with the 96 Packers in the comfort of your own patio, grab a couple of six packs of Total Wine and More Consumer Beverage or any Fox Brothers Piggly Wiggly locations today. And if you're drinking in the boff this week, make sure to hit me up. Use a picture. Tweet me a picture at Bill Schmidt Radio. Use the hashtag Beauforting Bill. Go all natural and drinking the boff this year with Beauforting beer. Chris Lingbach joins us from 106 The Fan in Baltimore, or from D.C., gives us a lowdown on the Washington Nationals. Brewers are there tonight. Will we see Max Scherzer? Show on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the radio.com app. Leroy Butler, Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, I'm Bill Baby Tell Schmidt.
Steve.
Well, you'll ask him in a bit because we're talking to Chris Lingbach from 106.7 The Fan out in D.C. in the nation's capital.
I want to ask Chris. Let me ask Chris.
Get your first question. Chris, this is coming from a soon-to-be Pro Football Hall of Famer, Leroy Butler. Thanks for joining us, by the way.
Thanks a lot, Chris. I really appreciate it. Now, we've been talking about condescending people. We got two of them on this show, not me and Baby Todd. You can figure out the other two. Now, Bryce Harper hits the home run. Now, I want to know how long was he staring at it? Now, somebody said it was 8 seconds. That has to be a record, right? No one's ever, maybe Baby
Chris
Bonds?
Has probably seen him do maybe a couple other long, long drawn out celebrations for home runs.
Has he ever stood in there that long?
Well, I can't put a number on it, but I know that he certainly thought he set a record for the fastest sprint around the bases. That was quite a bomb for the Phillies, and I think Phillies fans are getting to see what the Nationals fans were lucky to see for about 6 years, 7 years here in Washington, D.C., where the guy just has a flair for the dramatic, and you can say what you want about his numbers, but that there's almost something to be said for the value that he brings in those dramatic moments, and man, you just kind of hope to see maybe him get in the playoffs to kind of recreate some of that stuff just from a baseball perspective and enjoying the game.
Chris, how has the reaction to the year without Bryce Harper, the first year without Bryce in D.C.? Because the team is obviously still very, very competitive in the middle of the NL wildcard race right now, and they reinvest the money in tonight's starter, Patrick Corbin.
Yeah, you know, I would say it was very loud in the beginning because the Nats started off the season against the Phillies, and, you know, I was at National Park for that first series, and I was kind of surprised because, you know, Nationals fans kind of have a reputation of being very nice, being very polite. So I didn't really know what to expect going into it. But that first series and that first game in particular where Max Scherzer was on the mound, I think he fanned Bryce twice in his first two at-bats. Nationals Park was loud and extremely on the boo tirade for Bryce Harper. And that was probably one of the first times I've ever seen them be that loud. And that, I don't know if angry is the right word, but they were definitely stating the case that they were now enemies. And, again, first time in 15 years of baseball in D.C. that I'd seen anything like that. And I would say since then it's been a little bit more muted. They haven't played each other quite as much lately. But, yeah, I think the enemy lines have certainly been drawn in that relationship.
People are frustrated with the Brewers' bullpen to this point for, you know, how far they've fallen maybe from last year when their bullpen was really, really good in the ERA somewhere around 4. But the Nationals' bullpen takes it to a whole nother level of bad, it appears, in the ERA around 6. Are there any answers on the horizon for this bullpen?
Well, so they picked up 3 guys at the trade deadline. I think that they're, you know, one of them, Elias, is still on the injured list, but Daniel Hudson has been a huge improvement for them, and of course Hunter Strickland too. Ironically enough, Hunter Strickland is the guy who waited 3 years to plunk Bryce Harper. All the Nationals fans hated him, and now that they're in this weird, bizarre world where they have to love him because he's on the Nats and Bryce Harper's in the Phillies, that hopefully will come into play in a couple of weeks here at the end of the month when the Nationals and Phillies face each other 5 times in 4 days. Because of some weird rain delays and postponements earlier in the year. But, yeah, I think it's starting to kind of come into picture a little bit. They've had some trouble with Sean Doolittle where the mileage on his arm earlier in the year, I think, is kind of catching up on him now. So he's had 2 rough ninth innings out of his past 3 appearances. And they've said that they're hoping to, now that they've got 3 additional arms that they picked up at the trade deadline, that they're hoping to kind of give him a little bit more rest and get him ready to go and strong for the final stretch here. But I think things are starting to balance out. It's a matter of having a large enough sample size since the trade deadline to be able to kind of reevaluate.
You know, how was the fan base there? I mean, obviously they thought that you guys thought you had a chance to try to get to the World Series when you had the 2 young stars there. Are they still very positive about what's going on with the team now?
Yeah, I would definitely say they're positive. I think that they've kind of been through it a little bit now, and you have to realize that in D.C. we were out of baseball for 36 years,
right.
And I think there's a natural kind of retraining process where, and a lot of people, you know, kids that have grown up in the past 15 years, they're kind of learning baseball for the first time, and I think there's a natural learning curve there, and to understand that they've been spoiled a little bit since 2012, they've been to the playoffs on a clip of about every other year.
Right.
And they missed it last year, and they, you know, certainly had their struggles in the division series. So I think that they're kind of starting to get adjusted to the fact that this thing is not a given, that baseball is a completely different animal than the regular season. The Nats have been one of the top teams in the past 7 years in the regular season, but they haven't gotten it done in the postseason. So, you know, I think they're starting to familiarize themselves with just the trials and tribulations of the sport and how it is a totally different animal in the postseason. And yeah, I'd say they're still positive, but they have the wear and tear of kind of being through the battle a little bit.
Talking with Chris Lingbach of 106.7 The Fan out in D.C. Chris, we're all on Scherzer watch out here as he's been on the DL with that back right now, but not listed as a starter. Can we expect to see him maybe on Sunday as when it appeared that he possibly would jump back into the rotation?
It's a good question. He actually just did an interview with our midday show about 2 hours ago, and he said that he hasn't been told when he's going to pitch again. Now, he said earlier in the week that he thinks he's ready to go and that he'd like to make his return in the big leagues rather than, you know, waste those valuable innings in a minor league rehab start. I think he's chomping at the bit to go. I think he's just waiting for the final okay. But, you know, as you guys probably know, the Nats haven't announced their starters for Saturday and Sunday. So I think that there's a decent chance that he could pitch one of those games. But, you know, we're kind of in wait-and-see mode.
Yeah, winning four in a row, I know that's amazing. But the guy that the Brewers won't face because he just won 17-7, Strasburg. Now, I've seen his career from the beginning. I mean, the guy was just amazing hype. He lived up to it. I mean, how just when you think a guy like that would be at anybody's ace, their true number one, this kind of lineup is amazing. Just talk about his growth because he had to go through some ups and downs. And because I thought he was a bigger star than Harper myself, but for some reason, he didn't get that hype.
Well, so, you know, I've kind of been fortunate to witness his entire career here in D.C., including when he came in, and he was kind of that phenom drafted the year before Bryce Harper, and, you know, a big reputation coming in, huge career at UNLV and pitching for the national team. And, you know, I think that they kind of treated him with kid gloves a little bit when he got here. His first season here, every time he spoke to reporters, it was in a quarantined conference room, and, you know, it was – they kind of controlled the environment a little bit. And I wonder if that maybe kind of helped him develop some maybe bad habits of being treated with kid gloves a little bit. But I think he's broken out of that. It's taken some time. The guy's a hell of a pitcher. He's got amazing stuff. We can all see that each and every time he takes the mound. But I think you're seeing more of the finished product now after years of him learning more about his body and that he can't go max 100% of the time. And sit more in that 93-95 fastball range and then kick it up to, you know, 96-97 when he has to. He's a more developed pitcher than he's ever been. And yeah, you know, it presents an interesting question because the Nationals, you know, as we said, they're usually running away with the NL East by this time every single year. And now that they're in a wild card race with the Brewers, by the way, who are 2.5 games back on the Nats, it presents an interesting question of, if they get into a wild card game, who do they start? Is it Max Scherzer,
right,
obviously the longest tenured number one, or Steven Strasburg, who's actually pitched better for the Nationals in the postseason? And, you know, it really is an interesting question because you got to win the wild card game to get to anywhere else. And, you know, who's your number one guy? That's really an identity question, I think, that they may have to answer this year. We'll see.
Speaking on needing your guy, Josh Hader's been going through this phase now that, you know, giving up home runs every now and then, the most he's ever gave up so far this year. But home runs are up throughout the entire league, so I'm okay with that. If your best guy gives up a home run, but what's your guys' view of him? You think he's just a power pitcher? Do you think he needs more pitches? Are guys just always waiting on a fastball? They're just going to swing on the first pitch? What do you think the view is on him?
It's hard to say because the experimentation with the baseball that Major League Baseball has kind of been open about, but not really. We don't really know what, I guess, the long-term effects are. And we saw this in 2017, I believe it was, too, where there was an explosion in home runs, and guys who don't normally hit home runs are suddenly hitting 25 a year. So I don't know how much of an indictment that is on the baseball itself or Hader. It certainly has been weird to watch this year. There's been so many home runs where in past years you could look at it and go, that's obviously going to stop 10 feet short of the wall. And now it's not. It's sailing over the wall. I can't answer that with any sort of confidence.
Chris Lingbach joining us here from 106.7 The Fan on 105.7 FM The Fan. Chris, appreciate the time and the insight on the Washington Nationals. Should be a fun series, and we'll be reading along.
Thanks for having me, fellas. Appreciate it.
That's Chris Lingbach joining us here on 105.7 FM The Fan. Appreciate that. And also if you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local, common-sense lending to your community since 1935. Jesse Temple joins us next.
I'm talking earlier today with a fine young gentleman that was in the building, one of our sponsors of the radio station. And he was saying mortgage rates are so low right now, but good luck trying to find a house. These houses are going up for sale, Billy, and goes on the market.
Oh, wow.
And within like 24 to 48 hours, you got 3, 4, 5 offers above what you're even asking for. You talk about J&J contractors or something like that. You go get that remodel done, get it all done on your house. Think about that today. Everybody wants to sell, mm-hmm. right?
But sell, why, Mortimer.
But why not just make your house your dream house versus trying to go buy another house somewhere else, especially if you're just going to stay in the area. I had a dentist back in the day who literally moved after living in his house for so many years, Billy. He moved next door, and the next door neighbor moved into his house. They literally switched houses.
Hmm. Wow.
Did you ever hear of that before?
No, I never heard of that before.
That's crazy.
That's crazy, dude.
I wish I could live in a house. That'd be fun, too. That'd be a good thing.
Aren't you living in your parents' house?
Jesse Temple joins us next, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Welcome back in. Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM in the radio.com app. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, and our two foreign Packers, Gary Ellerson and Leroy Butler. Foreign Badger and Packer running back is Gary Ellerson. Right now at 414-799-1250, caller number 7 to 414-799-1250, going to get themselves a pair of tickets to go see Sublime with Rome at the Riverside Theater October 3rd. Once again, caller number 7, 414-799-1250, gets those tickets to go see Sublime. Talking Wisconsin Badgers football, you follow along at Jesse Temple.
Jesse Temple.
He joins us now. Jesse, appreciate the time on the Wendy's Big Show, man. Reading along with your story on Jack Cohen, it is pretty much complete separation between him and the backups, correct?
It certainly feels that way. He's been running with the first team offense in spring practice. That hasn't changed in the first 2 weeks of fall camp. Basically, he's taken 60% of the reps, and then Graham Mertz and Chase Wolf have each taken 20% of the reps, and then Danny Vandenboom is the fourth quarterback, dropped down and really isn't in the mix at all because they had to pare down some snaps. So that's where things stand now. And really, if there's any quarterback competition to be had at this point, it's probably for the backup job between Graham Mertz and Chase Wolf. And boy, it sure has been entertaining and really speaks to the depth that they have in the quarterback room this season.
Now, Jesse, so you're saying that Jack Cohen is that far ahead of Graham Mertz at this point? Because I think most Badger fans want Graham Mertz to be the starting quarterback at some point this year.
Of course they do, and that's because Graham has yet to throw an interception in college. He's perfect. He was an All-American in high school, and he's the highest-rated quarterback they've ever had. And the other thing is I think people saw what Jack did last season, and they just assume that's the quarterback he's going to be for the future. And I really don't think that's fair to Jack because he started 4 games. They were all in difficult circumstances. None of them were at home, and all of them came because Alex Hornibrook was hurt. And in some of those games, he didn't even know at the start of the week necessarily who was going to be the starter. And this year, he's got much more confidence. He's got a leadership aspect to him that he just wasn't able to have last year because Alex was the guy. And beyond that, really, it comes down to who can limit mistakes the most. I think he's been the most consistent. And yeah, Graham Mertz has had some moments where you're just like, wow, that is the reason they got him. And yesterday was one example. He threw a 35-yard dart to Aaron Krupschink. It was in the perfect spot for a touchdown. And the day before, he dropped in a 40-yard touchdown pass during a 2-minute drill. Having said that, he's still got a lot to learn. He's still a true freshman who hasn't played in a college game, who was just learning the offensive installation during the first 4 or 5 practices, and that was a lot to put on him, and quarterback's coach John Buttmeyer even admitted as much. Now, I think Graham has really rallied this week, but he's made some mistakes. He has overthrown a number of receivers throughout camp. I guess it's better to overthrow than underthrow because he's got a strong arm, but there are a lot of things that he has to clean up. And just because he's not necessarily going to be the starter to open the season doesn't mean he won't play later. Obviously, things can change, but the coaches have to go with the quarterback they think is going to give the team the best chance to win now, and I think that's Jack Cohen.
I've just reserved myself to the fact that as long as this coaching staff and this AD is in place, you're probably never going to see a freshman quarterback play for the University of Wisconsin. Having said that, with Jack Cohen, what does he do better? What does he do worse, maybe, than the previous quarterback from the last couple of years that we've watched?
Well, I think he'll probably be much better at limiting turnovers. I mean, that was a huge issue with Alex. He just threw way too many interceptions, especially considering how few passes they threw relative to other teams across the country. And even last year, I mean, Jack, he threw 3 interceptions, but his ratio of interceptions per pass was much different than Alex. It was much better. And so I think that's one thing you're going to see. He's a smart quarterback. He generally makes sound decisions. Now, he's not going to be perfect, But I think they're going to be able to air it out. I actually expect this offense to be much more dynamic based on what I've seen in camp. I think they're going to try to open it up and do some different things this year, and some of that has to include throwing the ball downfield a little more. They just did not have a downfield passing attack last season, and I think Jack has shown that in spurts during camp. He's just been solid. You know, they had a scrimmage on Monday, and he threw four touchdown passes during that scrimmage, and it's not the first time that he's been pretty solid. So, to me, I think that's a big part of his game.
Talking with Jesse Temple, at Jesse Temple, how you follow him right now and follow all the great stuff he writes about with your Wisconsin Badgers getting ready for the 2019 season. Let's flip it over to the defensive side of the football, being led by Chris Orr in the inside backer position. But that secondary, very young last year, you'd appear that they get a little bit better, and it appears that they had a nice little day as the scrimmage went down on Monday night.
Yeah, one thing I would say is even if there's a lot of interceptions thrown in a scrimmage, I wouldn't necessarily read too much into that just because, first of all, there's young quarterbacks. They're adjusting to the game and facing pressure and trying to make reads for the first time. But I do think you're right. I think this will be a really solid secondary and a group that the defense can certainly rely on. They've got a number of guys that start. I mean, they had like six DBs that started for the first time ever at one point last season, and they're all back. And, you know, the way it's shaping up to me, at least, I think Fayon Hicks and Daron Harrell are positioned to be the starting cornerbacks. I think Scott Nelson and Reggie Pearson are positioned to be the starting safeties. And Reggie Pearson is a guy who's made a huge jump. He made the two deep out of camp as a true freshman last year, but he got injured the day before the season opener, and he only wound up playing in four games, so he was able to save his redshirt under a new NCAA rule. But he's kind of overtaken Eric Burrell there for that spot, but that means you still got a guy like Eric Burrell who started a bunch of games last year as maybe your top reserve at safety. And they have a number of options that they've been rotating through in the nickel spot. So, yeah, there's a lot of depth and a lot of talent back there for sure.
And this may be unfair, though, Jess, but is there any T.J. Watts out there on defense?
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know that there's a first-team All-American right now.
You don't?
You know, I mean, his story was pretty special. But what I will say is
I didn't say J.J., I said T.J.
Hey, that's
T.J. Watt was a T.J. Watt was a first-team All-American.
I know. I just kind of – I did go down a level, though, didn't I?
Much. I don't know. I thought he was pretty good in that year at outside backer.
Go ahead. But any of those guys out there?
I don't know that there's, you know, an All-American in the bunch, but I think collectively they're going to be much better. And quite honestly, where this is going to be most noticeable is on the defensive line, just in terms of them being healthier and having more experience, because last year was really – worst case scenario for them. I mean, they lost Garrett Rand to an Achilles injury before the season started. Isaiah Loudermilk was never really fully healthy. And so they started last season with Matt Henningsen, a walk-on who had never played in a college game, and Caden Lyles, who came in as an offensive lineman. Right. So, you know, I had a story that ran a couple weeks ago that kind of illustrated the struggles they had on the defensive line. Last year, they gave up an average of 2.1 yards per carry before contact. And the year before that, they gave up 0.4 yards per carry on average before contact. That was first in the Big Ten. Last year, they were 11th in the Big Ten. That's almost a two-yard difference per carry on average before anyone even touches the ball carrier. So that should tell you a lot about who was winning the battle in the trenches.
Where do you rank them on this side of the conference?
I mean, I think they have every bit as good a chance as winning the West. To me, this is the most wide open the West has been since they went to this East-West divisional split. You really could make a case for any team in the West other than Illinois to win the West. I mean, Nebraska has kind of become the trendy pick to win the West. I think it's probably for a few different reasons. Even though Nebraska went 4-8 last year, they did close 4-2. And I think people are putting a lot of stock, not only in their quarterback, but in their head coach, Scott Frost, because he had this massive year two turnaround at his previous stop when UCF went 13-0. I don't think you can automatically assume that's going to happen here, but Nebraska's got a much easier schedule. I think that's one thing that's the big question mark about Wisconsin is, I think they're a better football team this year than they were last year. Having said that, their East Division crossover games are at Ohio State and then home games against Michigan and Michigan State. They got to play at Nebraska and obviously the other really good teams in the West. So it's no cakewalk for the Badgers for sure, but I think they'll be a better team.
Who are we looking at as a backup behind Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Right now, I think Nakia Watson is a guy who is starting to emerge as that guy who could complement Jonathan Taylor. Garrett Groshek is another guy. You know, Garrett and Jonathan have actually been working together in the backfield during fall camp, which is something new that we hadn't seen before, and it just provides a variety of possibilities, what they can do with both those guys. But Watson is someone who started to emerge here the last couple of weeks. He took a red shirt last year. I think that really surprised running backs coach John Settle. He was a really high-level high school prospect in Texas, and Settle thought he would come in and play last year. But he has started to get it. He is a powerful downhill runner. When they had their scrimmage on Monday, he had a couple really nice runs. He had a 32-yard touchdown run that was called back because of a holding. But still, it was impressive. And then the other guy in the mix is Bradrick Shaw, who hasn't played since November 2017. He's been out with an ACL injury. Monday was a really big deal for him because it was the first time he played live tackle football in almost 2 years. So I think those are the guys that you're looking at. But if I had to pick one right now, I'd probably say Nakia Watson.
Hey, Jesse, I don't know why these guys are dancing around, but I want to get back to this Graham Mertz thing. That's what I want to talk about.
Well, get on back to it, Leroy.
Because they're going to throw the ball 11 times anyway. I mean, maybe 10, maybe 8, because Taylor going to get 300 yards a game. Let this guy be on the job training. Let him go out there and play. I mean, because you know what the student body is going to do. They're going to be, Mercy, Mercy. And Cohen going to be like, wait a minute, I'm the quarterback. And it's going to cause a big riff.
Are you going to ask a question?
Well, I just kind of want to just set the stage first.
I'm not dancing around anything. I mean,
no, not you. I'm talking about these guys. These guys, not you. No, you're our guest.
I don't think they're dancing around.
Yes, they are. They don't want to ask the question. Steve's scared to ask you.
Go ahead and ask
and press you on it and say he want to see Mercy play or he's going to be upset. That's normally what Steve would say, but he kind of backed off a little bit.
No, I said they're just never going to play a freshman quarterback at this university. It's just not going
to
happen.
See, that was a condescending way of play. I want you to hear the Steve with the vein pop out way to ask.
No, it's not going to change anything. They're going to play Jack Cohen. And if you
see
listen,
what? You don't know that, man. Let it play out. Let it play out a little
Jesse
bit.
Said it. And if you read everything that Jesse has written, you can see that Cohen has outplayed him to this point, so they're going to go with the guy that's older and see what happens. He's got more game experience. Yeah. As Jesse continues to point out, he's never played in a game, so that's held against him.
Well, I'll follow you at Jesse Temple to find out the further who's going to start and all that kind of stuff. I just wanted more out of Steve, and I just got it. Thank you, Jesse.
No worries. Well, I disagree a little bit. I don't think that the coaches are adamantly opposed to playing a freshman quarterback. It takes a special guy to have that role, and if anyone can do it, it's Graham. And again, just because he may not open the season as a starter doesn't mean it can't happen down the road. I think he's positioning himself to win the backup job. And I would point out that in 7 of the last 8 years, Wisconsin has required the services of its backup quarterback either because of injury or because the starter hasn't been effective. So
that's a nugget.
A really important guy, and I think it could be Graham, but it's a wait and see. I mean, right now Jack has earned the job, and it just depends on what happens from there.
Okay. Jesse, appreciate it. We'll be following along, and we'll talk in the middle of this thing before Michigan comes to town and we start a Big Ten play.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Appreciate it. That's Jesse Temple writing about your Wisconsin Badgers at Jesse Temple on Twitter. Go follow him right now for the latest.
I don't understand why Steve won't just get all like he normally is, trying to be all professional.
Because he was saying it pretty adamantly.
I don't like
there was
when
no chance he was going to start.
I don't like that. I like
he's
when that
earned the
pop
job.
Out.
He's earned the job, just like Dean Murray has earned your business. Yeah.
You okay, Leroy?
No, I'm not. I won't. Sparky.
You want to talk about Dean Murray?
Dean is amazing. Matter of fact, Dean is a sponsor of the football camp, and I appreciate that. I mean, you think about some of the things he's done for the community. One of the things he's also done, he got teachers, first responders, and numerous of other young folks and old folks to my wedding, and I appreciate that. When it was time for me to pop that big question, I went to a young man who can help me work with my budget. That's number one.
Work within your budget.
Work within my budget. And I want to make sure it's real. Do you know how many times people go buy jewelry, all of a sudden you bring it, get it appraised, and they make that face like, I don't think
you
got what you're supposed
didn't
to get.
Didn't you tell her? Now tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, I'm old. My memory's loose. Yeah, I'm losing my memory.
Yeah.
Didn't this fool tell her on the radio after this whole thing happened on the phone, baby, go to Jewelry Center and pick out whatever ring you want in the store. That ain't no budget. You don't got no budget.
No, it was a budget.
You said any ring in the store.
No, see, Dean got the budget.
Oh, Lord.
So what he does, Steve, he'll scoot his chair over it when he knows it's over the budget or under. He'll scoot to let her know, no, that ain't the one. Just keep scooting.
So she didn't know. Yeah, okay.
She fell within the budget. She's a brilliant girl. That's why she got 800 credit ratings. She know what to do. She ain't going to go in there and
ask. She married you, so she's got to be brilliant.
She know, hey, well, that helps. But I had a guy go over there and didn't have the right thing. And you want to go to a guy They even have a young man who can go back there. If you got some old gold or jewelry laying around, you can get cold hard cash. Cash. You know one thing they do, Gary?
What thing
they
do you?
They sell more watch batteries than a lot of...
Anybody.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really, you knew that, right?
I didn't know it.
Definitely.
You took a watch over there?
Just from listening to my good friends, nice. Roy Butler and Gary Ellerson.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I mean, sometimes people think about that kind of stuff, but they got three locations, and Gary going to tell you where they are. I just appreciate what Dean has done for the... You know, I met his daughter, his youngest daughter, at the fair.
Wow.
He's walking around the fair like normal folk.
No doubt.
I said, you know, I had to play a joke on her. Dean told me he didn't have any kids. She thought it was funny. But he was out there with his wife and his kids.
Oh, he was cracking up.
Yeah. Well, I just like to look at the kids' face when they... Never mind. You guys ain't got no sense of humor. I'm the only comedian on this show. Now that Rami has left. But go over to my favorite one, the 7477 on Layton. That's one of my favorites. But they got two other locations that have been around the state.
Let me get to them, folks. Yeah. Three locations.
While he finishes up his sold-out comedic stand-up, let's shift over.
As long as I'm laughing, that's all I care about.
76 and Layton Plaza in Brookfield, Broomall Road.
I've been trying to help y'all have a personality. Y'all just don't have it.
You do a great job.
You guys are stiff.
In Brookfield off of Broomall Road in the Tri-City National Bank building right there on the second floor. You done?
Go ahead.
And a third location in Burlington, Wisconsin.
Which player made an impression on you last night? 414-799-1250. Talk to the two guys that played in these games next when he's Big Show on the Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.